Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina. In the wake of the tragic attacks in Paris, we present a special encore edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, which was recorded earlier this year in the aftermath of the Charlie Hebdo shootings. Hank welcomes Dr. David Wood to discuss authentic Islam in light of the teachings of the Quran. Despite the very real fact that there are multitudes of peaceful Muslims, David Wood points out that Islam means submission, submission to the teachings of Allah and His Prophet Muhammad. According to many passages of the Quran and under certain circumstances, the brutality of ISIS is exactly what we should expect. Now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is good to be in studio as we answer your questions around the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are waiting for your call. The number to dial, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. This is a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, an edition of the broadcast in which we want to highlight the issue of Islam. It's high time that we did this. This is a transcendently important issue. Not long ago, I had the opportunity to speak at the University of Tehran in Iran, as well as Ulema Tebetiba. And I met many Persians there who are subjugated, as it were, to a Muslim theocracy. And yet, when you meet real flesh and blood people, you recognize the salient truth that these are those for whom Christ died. And therefore, it is incumbent upon us to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us. I suppose that reality has been thrust upon our consciousness collectively in a greater capacity September 11, 2001, than any other time. Muslims worldwide have been thrust into the blinding spotlight of societal scrutiny. And since that fateful late summer day, we've been bombarded by images of militant Muslim mobs cheering terrorists, as well as by hasty generalizations and glib platitudes. In an age in which there are more mosques in Great Britain than Methodist churches, and more Muslims in the U.S. than Episcopalians, it's high time that Christians are informed by reason rather than by rhetoric. And when I talk about rhetoric, all you have to do is turn on the television or the radio and you hear rhetoric, oftentimes devoid of reason. And this is particularly why we want to put into your hands resources that will equip you not to repel, but rather equip you to reach. One of those resources is a book. It is a compilation of journal articles. It's titled Islam, What You Must Know. It's the best of the Christian Research Journal over the years. And along with this book, we're making available an issue of the Christian Research Journal featuring the cover article, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? As well as a special article, The Rise of the American Jihadist. It's by Dr. David Wood. And he joins me now on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He is an expert on Islam, and I appreciate very much the balance that you have brought to this subject. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, how's it going, Hank?
Doing good. And, you know, one of the things that you point out is that while people on television and radio are calling the acts of Muslims worldwide when it has to do with jihad or terror, they're calling them, well, they're extremist Muslims. You're saying this isn't extreme at all. This is authentic Islam in complete concert with the teachings of Muhammad and the Quran.
Oh, absolutely. The Quran commands Muslims to obey, well, of course, to obey Allah, that's the God of Islam, but also to obey the example and the decisions of Muhammad. So when I look at the things Muhammad did and then I see Muslims doing the exact same things today, I can't say, oh, those are extremists. You might say they're extreme in a sense. They're, you know, extremely devoted or something like that. But if they're just doing exactly what the religion commands them to do in context, I'd have to say that that's just what Islam teaches.
Surah 5, that's one of the passages that you quote in your article. It says, the punishment of those who wage war against Allah and his apostle and strive to make mischief in the land is only this, that they should be murdered or crucified, or their hands and feet should be cut off on opposite sides, or they should be imprisoned. This shall be a disgrace for them in this world, and in the hereafter they shall have a grievous chastisement. Now, that's not a passage, in your view, that's been abrogated. That's a passage that if you are an authentic Muslim, you should follow.
Yeah, and there are several interesting things with that passage. One is that that's chapter 5, verse 33 of the Quran. It comes right after chapter 5, verse 32, which is the most commonly cited verse of politicians and the media and Western Muslims to show that Islam is peaceful and tolerant and condemns the sort of actions that we see from ISIS. Chapter 5, verse 32, if you've ever heard Muslims say that according to Islam, anyone who kills a man, it's as if he's killed all mankind. And they'll quote that and say, therefore, Islam is against killing. But you can only get that by really just, I mean, massacring the verse. The verse starts off by saying that it was the children of Israel that was revealed to. It was for the children of Israel that if anyone killed a man, it's as if he's just killed all mankind. It's actually a quote from Mishnah Sanhedrin, which is a part of the Talmud. And then the very next verse, 5:33, gives the command that's for Muslims, and it says the penalty for the vague crime of making mischief in the land is, depending on the kind of mischief that's been made, either, you know, it can be cutting off body parts or killing or crucifixion or exile and imprisonment. There are kind of the same word, so it gets translated either way. But these are some pretty harsh punishments for the vague crime of making mischief in the land. If you go to the Islamic commentaries, they'll say that making mischief in the land includes things like leaving Islam, preaching a non-Muslim religion, or simply not believing in Islam. If you're not believing in Islam and you don't have any sort of protected status, you're making mischief in the land. And so there are harsh penalties for you. But it's just it's very interesting to me that, you know, if you look at ISIS, ISIS is carrying out that verse to the letter, and then people will go to the verse before it, which quotes the Talmud, and they'll cut off the part about this being a Jewish quotation, say that that's what Islam teaches, and then say, therefore, ISIS is un-Islamic, even though ISIS is following the next verse, which is directed towards Muslims, not towards Jews.
And this is a kind of trickery or sleight of hand that even President Obama has engaged in. He has insisted that the Quranic message is condemnation of the kind of terrorist attacks that we saw in France. But in doing that, he does just what you have pointed out in your article. He's quoting from the Talmud in order to make a point about Islam.
And that's what you have in Islam is you have situations like that where it's actually it's giving a revelation that's for someone else. That revelation is for Jews, and ignoring what the Quran actually says to Muslims. But there are actually some verses in the Quran that sound very peaceful. Chapter 2:256 is a common one that says there is to be no compulsion in religion. We hear that and say, hey, that's a lot of people in the West would agree with that. No compulsion in religion. Don't force anyone to believe. But we need to get our minds around the fact that different revelations came in different historical situations for Muslims. And the general pattern is that when Muslims are completely outnumbered, can't hope to win a physical confrontation, they are, according to their prophet, they are taught to promote a message of peace and tolerance, because that's what's in the best interest of the Muslim community. Later, when they're still in a minority, but they have plenty of people who can fight and defend Islam. So in other words, once they reach, 15-20% of a population, they're commanded to wage defensive jihad. So it's jihad, you're fighting, but it's only against someone who does something to the Muslim community. So if someone persecutes the Muslim community, now it's important to keep in mind that the Islamic view of persecution is much broader than what most of us would consider persecution. Even criticizing Islam or making fun of Muhammad or, of course, drawing cartoons of Muhammad, that would all be considered an attack on the Islamic community. And so Muslims in those situations can wage defensive jihad. But still later, when Muslims make up a majority of the population, when they can actually physically dominate the unbelievers, they're commanded to wage offensive jihad. That's violently subjugating the unbeliever. So there are revelations in the Quran that are associated with each of these stages. And these are the stages we find laid down in the Quran. These are the stages we find in the life of Muhammad. These are the stages we find in the Hadith. These are the stages we find in the Sirah. These are the stages we find in the Tafsir. Those are the commentaries. Wherever you go, you find this pattern of peace and tolerance when you're completely outnumbered, fight and wage terrorist attacks, or at least react towards persecution when you can. Later on, when you're capable of dominating the unbelievers, then you do it. And so, Muslims here in the West, they point to the peaceful commands, which are the commands that were part of the revelation when Muslims were completely outnumbered in Mecca, and they say, look at these peaceful revelations. You see, this is what Islam commands. Well, if those were the final marching orders of Muhammad, I would say, yeah, that's peaceful. But it's not. It's only peaceful until the numbers start to rise.
Help me make sense out of this Charlie Hebdo situation, where you have 12 satirists who are murdered, and they are held up as being exemplars, as heroes. But if you actually go and see the pictures that they're running on the cover of their magazine, it doesn't look like satire as much as it looks like pornography under the guise of satire, where you're showing the Prophet Muhammad with his genitals hanging out, you're seeing his bare rear end. It's pornographic images that would enrage a Muslim, just like a Christian would be enraged when we saw the images years ago of Piss Christ, where Christ is submerged in urine. Now, the difference, obviously, is Christians don't go out and murder. They protest, but they don't murder. But there is a case to be made that what these satirists slash pornographers were doing was simply inviting this kind of violence.
Yeah, well, I have kind of mixed feelings about the Charlie Hebdo. As you pointed out, I don't find any of it amusing. I mean, they seem to be deliberately as offensive as possible. And, in the West, they have the right to do that. It doesn't mean that people have to like it. As for them, deliberately pushing the buttons of Muslims, I would say that's certainly true in the sense that since they're some of the only people who are doing it, since they're one of the only groups that are doing it, they have to know the danger, right? I mean, mm-hmm. If you watch The Simpsons, you can watch The Simpsons. They'll make fun of Christianity left and right. They're not going to say anything negative or critical of Islam. The cartoonists over at South Park, they tried to do it. They were threatened, and then that episode was shut down and censored. You've had, of course, several years ago the Danish cartoonists who tried to make some cartoons about Muhammad, and there were people killed over that, and now you have Charlie Hebdo. But the idea is most cartoonists, most satirists, most anyone, just news networks, anyone who's TV shows. Everyone pretty much seems to understand that Islam is something different, and if we make fun of that, we are putting ourselves at risk, and we might get killed. And so most of them don't want to do that, and so they just don't do it. They put Islam in a different category than they put anything else, and they'll make fun of anything else but not Islam. Charlie Hebdo, their idea was, no, if we're gonna make fun of Christians and everyone else, we're gonna make fun of Islam equally. But I mean, they understood this. They got firebombed, I think, just 2 years ago. Their headquarters there, so they understand that since they're some of the only ones that are doing that, they kind of make themselves an easy target. If only, you know, one or two papers are doing this, then it makes them an easy target. So they were aware of this, and they were, at the end of the day, they were willing to accept the risk.
Talking to Dr. David Wood, he is the featured writer in the Christian Research Journal. Two articles, one, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up?, as well as a special article just published. It's called The Rise of the American Jihadist. That, along with the book, Islam, What You Must Know, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Instrument Broadcast, our outreaches around the world. You can access them for your gift at equip.org.
While legions of the theologically clueless and politically correct fall over themselves in their rush to paint a warmer and kinder picture of Islam, you might be wondering, what's really the truth? Hank Hanegraaff's special offer of the book, Islam, What You Must Know, plus Dr. David Wood's article, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up?, and The Rise of the American Jihadist, will help you understand the real Islam. To receive this offer as our thank you for your gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-Minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. In response to the recent Charlie Hebdo shootings in Paris, Howard Dean, former governor of Vermont, stated, "I stopped calling these people Muslim terrorists. They're about as Muslim as I am. I think ISIS is a cult, not an Islamic cult. I think it's a cult." Is Dean trying to paint a politically correct, warmer, kinder picture of Islam? What's really the truth? Hank Hanegraaff's special equipping package will help you understand the real Islam. It includes the book, Islam, What You Must Know, plus a special article on the rise of the American Jihadist and an issue of the Christian Research Journal featuring the article, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? To receive this offer as our thank you for your gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity, and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. As Dr. David Wood notes in Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up, given an honest reading of the Quran and Hadith, a brutal theocracy is exactly what we would expect. For valuable and timeless insights into Islam and the need of Christians to better understand the theology driving ISIS and other jihadist movements, don't miss Islam, What You Must Know, the best of the Christian Research Journal. To say thanks for your gift, Hank Hanegraaff will also send you an issue of the Christian Research Journal, as well as an article on the rise of the American jihadist. To receive the book, magazine issue, and special article, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift today in support of CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Now with more of the answers you need today, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father in heaven." Devotees of Muhammad find that very notion offensive to their way of thinking, calling God Father and Jesus Christ Son. Well, that suggests sexual procreation. Not only so, but they dogmatically denounce the Christian declaration of Christ's unique deity as the unforgivable sin is shirk. As the Quran actually puts it, Allah forgiveth not the sin of joining other gods with him, but he forgiveth whom he pleasest. Other sins than this. In Islamic lore, God made someone look like Jesus, and the lookalike was crucified in place of Jesus. And in recent years, the myth that Judas was crucified in place of Jesus was popularized in Muslim circles due to the propagation of the late medieval work titled The Gospel of Barnabas. In addition to rejecting the divinity of Jesus, Islam also renounces the divine identity of the Holy Spirit. Far from being the third person of the triune God who inspired the text of the Bible, Islam teaches that the Holy Spirit is the archangel Gabriel who dictated the Quran to Muhammad over a period of 23 years. Islam, What You Must Know, the book available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our outreaches around the world. We'll also send you a feature issue of the Christian Research Journal with the cover story, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up?, as well as a special article on the rise of the American jihadist by Dr. David Wood. Again, he joins me in studio. He's an expert on Islam. The articles he has written for the journal are enlightening, and they're necessary. We need to know what is going on so we don't fall for rhetoric. Instead, we can bypass the rhetoric and use our well-reasoned answers as opportunities to share the truth and love and grace that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. You know, and that's one of the things, David, that I have been very, very much moved by. I had the opportunity a number of years ago to lead a Muslim to the Lord. His name was Saeed Jarar, and he came from a land in the Middle East, and he couldn't go back because he had converted to Christianity. Going back was a death sentence. And it took an entire year, quite frankly, to disciple him, to baptize him, to teach him to become a reproducing disciple maker, because the ethics, the principles, the overall way of the Muhammad lifestyle was so ingrained in him.
Oh, yeah, there's no question. Islam is a... Well, you don't exactly have the same kind of choices that you do in other countries. Here, you can do what Jesus wants, or you can sin all you want here in the West. In an Islamic country, there's some wiggle room, but in a lot of places, especially if you're talking about a place like Pakistan or something like that, Saudi Arabia, you're not gonna step over the line too far between, you know, before someone brings you back real quick. And you know, in Saudi Arabia, for instance, there was a guy who a guy named Rafe. He simply tried to start a blog on, you know, for the open discussion of religion, and he was sentenced to 1,000 lashes and 10 years in jail. So yeah, it's going to be ingrained either, you know, from going to school as a Muslim, where, you know, you're just day after day, you're bombarded with Islam all day and all night, or it's going to be, you know, sort of forced onto you, whether you like it or not. But yeah, it's going to be a huge part of life and from anyone from certain areas.
One of the things I want to land on for a few moments with you is something you wrote in the journal. The title of the article again: "Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up?" You point out that there are many Muslims who are peace-loving and reject terrorism. And just anecdotally, I experienced that during the height of the tensions between the U.S. and Iran. I went to Iran. I spoke at the University of Tehran and Allama Tabatabai, the sociology university. And what I found being there was very, very different than what I saw on the news. I remember the first day I went to the hotel, I didn't dare leave the hotel because everything was so foreign to me. What you're seeing visually was arresting in some ways. And the next morning, I told my translator that I hadn't left the hotel. She said, "Well, you don't have to worry about that. You can walk the streets of Tehran in the middle of the night. You'll be treated with dignity and courtesy, and no one will dare harm you." Well, for the next 6 days, I did that, and I found that what she had said was absolutely so. I was treated with courtesy. I was treated with dignity. Even during the debates with a Muslim imam, as well as two Orthodox Jewish rabbis who were conveniently for the peaceful dismantlement of the State of Israel. But during all of my experiences there, there was a great deal of care, concern, consideration, hardly the kind of stereotype that you see with the terrorists. And that, I think, underscores your point that there are many peace-loving Muslims throughout the world. But if you're consistent with the doctrines taught in the Quran, you have by necessity to have animus and create terror against the infidel.
Well, yeah, there are verses in the Quran, chapter 5, verse 51, for instance, which says that Muslims aren't allowed to be friends with Christians or Jews. Chapter 3, verse 28 says Muslims can't be friends with unbelievers in general. And then chapter 9, verse 29, for instance, orders Muslims to fight and violently subjugate Christians and Jews. And so it's sort of built into the system. Not only that, just apart from, you know, things that Muslims are actually doing, just the general attitude, if you really take the Quran seriously. Chapter 3, verse 110 of the Quran says that Muslims are the best of peoples ever raised up for mankind. And chapter 98, verse 6 says that Christians, Jews, and al-mushrikun, those are idol worshippers, but it says Christians, Jews, and idolaters are the worst of creatures. So you have this idea that we're somehow disgusting and filthy, and Muslims are the good ones. So you have passages like that which sort of work into a society. But at the same time, in lots of places in the Muslim world, there are traditions of hospitality that go back even before the time of Islam, where, you know, you take care of people. If you have a guest, you have to take care of them. And I used to teach English as a second language, but I had a friend from one of my students was from Saudi Arabia, and he said, if your worst enemy shows up to your house and knocks on your door, you have to invite him in. You have to give him tea or coffee or something like that. But you have to, and there is to be no hostility if he shows up at your house. There was a recent movie about a soldier in Afghanistan who made it to a village, and the village protected him, even though the Taliban wanted to kill him. It's considered an obligation of hospitality. It's a moral obligation. It's a matter of honor to protect someone who's within your village, and so. These guys were fighting the Taliban just to protect an American soldier who was there. So you certainly have this. And I actually had a friend from He lives in America now, but he was from Syria before all the problems happened in Syria, before the Arab Spring. And he said he felt safer as a Christian in Syria than he did as a Christian in Dearborn, Michigan. And I said, why? You've certainly got people that would want to, you know, would want to hurt you there. And he said, if any Muslim were to ever physically attack a Christian in Damascus, where he lived, he said there would be soldiers dragging him out of his house in the middle of the night with machine guns. And so you have, on the one hand, you have these customs and traditions that go back for centuries of hospitality, and on the other hand, you have in certain places governments who understand that there are radicals in their midst, people who really want to hurt unbelievers. But who really crack down on them in a vicious manner in order to keep those tendencies down. And so, yeah, up until recently, there were plenty of safe places to go in the Muslim world. Unfortunately, those are quickly dwindling.
David, talk a little bit about the fact that you, when you think about Islam, it's not a monolith, it's multifaceted. You have Shiites, you have Sunnis, you have Sufis. Talk about the distinctions between Islam.
Well, there are, you mentioned the two main ones. The main division is between Sunnis and Shias, and that goes back to that first generation of Muslims. When Muhammad died, he didn't appoint a clear successor, and so some people said that Abu Bakr, the sort of best of the Muslims there, Muhammad's closest companion, that he should rule. And then other people said, no, someone from Muhammad's family should rule. And so there was a division, and they started killing over it. Aisha, Muhammad's one of Muhammad's wives, who was given the title the Mother of the Faithful, actually marched an army out against Ali, who was given the title by Muhammad Commander of the Faithful. So these are important individuals in the early Muslim community, and they're marching armies against each other over various disputes that they had. And you know, it's sad, but here we are 14 centuries later, and you know, Sunnis and Shias are still killing each other. But you have that. That's the main distinction. You have Sufis, who are sort of the mystical branch, who believe you can still have some sort of a, you know, divine mystical experience with God. Most Muslims would say, no, that's a problem. But even within the Sunni camp or within the Shia camp, you'll have further divisions. Among the Sunnis, you'll have all kinds of Sunnis, because being a Sunni just kind of means you're going to believe in the traditions of the early Muslims who are Sunnis. But you can have much more strict adherence to those teachings. So among the, among Sunnis, you have the Salafis, you have the Muslim Brotherhood. So yeah, you end up with a lot of sort of official distinctions of people who would say I'm in this group or I'm in that group. But apart from that, you have a distinction of personality, that some people are going to obey their scriptures. If they say, hey, I believe in the scripture, they're going to follow it, and they're going to follow it whether they like it or not. And they're not going to say, hey, I adhere to this religion, when they're ignoring what it teaches. And that's, that's common to Muslims and non-Muslims. I think you and I are in that category of, hey, we're going to do what our religion says, even if we don't like it. The problem comes when, your religion is telling you to violently subjugate unbelievers or to kill apostates or things like that.
Talking to Dr. David Wood. He is the featured writer in the Christian Research Journal. Two articles in particular, one, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? And then a special article, brand new, by Dr. David Wood, The Rise of the American Jihadist, as well as Islam, What You Must Know, the book created by the Ministries of the Christian Research Institute. All three available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our outreaches around the world. You can acquire your copy for your gift in a safe, secure fashion all this month by simply going to the web, equip.org. Be right back.
Having spoken at the University of Tehran in Iran, Hank Hanegraaff is increasingly motivated to ensure that Bible Answer Man listeners receive credible information concerning Islam. For this reason, Hank has put together a special equipping package, which includes the book, Islam, What You Must Know, the Best of the Christian Research Journal. And in addition to a special article on the rise of the American jihadist by Dr. David Wood, this offer also includes an issue of the Christian Research Journal featuring the article, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? To receive this equipping package as our thank you for your gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment to answer more questions. Endless predictions about end-time events and published timetables counting down the end have proven to be wrong 100% of the time. When doomsday predictions fail, there is double-duty damage. Many theologically juvenile and scripturally superficial Christians abandon the faith as a result of these failed predictions, and the public image of Christianity is damaged, making Christians appear to be hopelessly naive and easily duped biblical bumpkins. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will equip you not only to interpret biblical prophecy correctly, but to remember it as well. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. President Obama said, "Let's make two things clear. ISIL is not Islamic. No religion condones the killing of innocents, and the vast majority of ISIL's victims have been Muslim. And ISIL is certainly not a state. ISIL is a terrorist organization, pure and simple." How accurate is this politically correct, warmer and kinder picture of Islam? To help you get a better understanding of the real Islam, Hank Hanegraaff has put together an equipping package which includes the book, Islam, What You Must Know, a special article on the rise of the American jihadist, and an issue of the Christian Research Journal featuring the article, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? To receive this offer as our thank you for your gift today, go online at equip.org and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or call 888-7000-CRI. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. For most Americans, pronouncements from our public officials that Islam is a religion of peace are impossible to reconcile with daily headlines and jarring photos of jihadist atrocities. To help you get a better understanding of the real Islam, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the book, Islam, What You Must Know, as well as an issue of the Christian Research Journal featuring an article titled, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? And given how critical this topic is, Hank will include a special article on the rise of the American jihadist. The book, magazine issue, and special article are our gift in appreciation for your support today of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Understand authentic Islam. Go online now to equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. One of the things I note in Islam, What You Must Know, the book available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute for your gift, is that the Quran is riddled with factual errors. A classic case in point, of course, involves something that I alluded to earlier And that is the Quran's denial of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And that denial in Surah 4 is explicit and it is emphatic. They killed him not, nor crucified him, but it was made to appear to them for a surety. They killed him not. But not only do you have these kinds of factual errors in the Quran, but you have faulty ethics, particularly when it comes to the equality of women. In Surah 4, Muhammad received a revelation from God, allowing men to marry women of your choice, 2, 3, or 4. But in Surah 33, Muhammad receives a divine sanction to marry any believing woman who dedicates her soul to the Prophet if the Prophet wishes to wed her. So while other men were permitted to marry up to 4 wives, Allah provided Muhammad with a divine exception for his marriage to at least 12 women. And also troubling is the fact that the Quran allows men to beat, well, lightly, their wives in order that they might return to obedience. So when you compare the personal morality of Muhammad in the Quran with that of Jesus in the Bible, the differences are remarkable. The Quran exhorts Muhammad to ask forgiveness for thy fault. Conversely, Christ's ethics with regard to any aspect of life, but particularly with regard to the treatment of women, it was unimpeachable, and therefore he could rightly ask, can any of you prove me guilty of sin? Again, just some of the information available in Islam, what you must know, along with 2 articles by Dr. David Wood. I'll mention them one more time. Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? And The Rise of the American Jihadist. Dr. David Wood joins me on the broadcast today, an expert on Islam. And I think, David, you would say it's pretty important for us to understand Islam in the midst of all the chatter, because if we don't, we don't know how to rightly give an answer or reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect.
Absolutely. And I'd say, apart from political correctness, the sort of political correctness that would keep you from saying anything critical of Islam or you're a racist or something like that, the biggest asset that lots of Muslim preachers have in the West is that there is a kind of general ignorance of Islam. And what that allows the Muslim preacher to do is to say pretty much whatever he wants about Islam, and no one's there to correct him. And I'm bringing this up because every single convert I've ever met in my life, every convert to Islam, I've met plenty. I go and I do a debate or something somewhere, and people come up to me afterwards and say, hey, you know, I used to be a Christian and now I'm a Muslim. But every single person I've ever met who converted to Islam had no clue what Islam teaches, at least not when they converted. And I know this because, you know, they'll say, I converted to Islam because of this, or I converted to Islam because of that. And I'll start quoting their sources to them, and they have no clue what I'm talking about. They haven't read it. They've never studied. So, for instance, if it's a woman, if I'm talking to a woman who has converted to Islam, she'll tell me, Islam is a religion of equality and women's rights, and Muhammad was one of the greatest feminists of all time and things like that. I say, where did you get this from? And I'll start quoting passages. And they have no clue what I'm talking about. They don't know what Islam actually teaches. Or it's also very common to say that the Quran is a scientific masterpiece, and Muhammad knew things about science that were centuries ahead of his time. And here again, when I start quoting passages to people who say this, they haven't read any of it. And so this ignorance of Islam allows Muslim preachers to come into the West and to say really anything, to adapt the message to whatever audience they're speaking to make it appealing to them, because in Islam the goal is to convert people, and however you need to go about that, that's what you do. And that's such a problem, because there are lots of sort of well-meaning Christian ministries who say, don't talk about Islam, don't be critical of Islam, just preach the gospel. And they're certainly right that we need to preach the gospel, but we know that Muslims are winning converts out there based on saying things that are simply false, and that if people knew what Islam actually taught, they wouldn't be converting to it. And I'd say, I understand if someone personally just wants to preach the gospel and doesn't want to say anything critical of Islam, I understand that. I have no problem with that. But when they, you know, when people lay it down as a principle that all ministries need to follow, it's just silly to me. We have to be aware of what people are teaching so that we can respond to it.
I'm really interested in your perspective with respect to President Obama vis-a-vis Islam. When I was in Tehran, as I mentioned earlier, I debated a Muslim cleric who was propagating radical social anarchy. He was from San Francisco in the United States. He had flown over there as well. When he was speaking, it was chilling, not only from the platform, but when I spoke with him personally afterwards, it was chilling. And he claimed, whether true or not, to be a close associate of Obama, knew him well, and said that Obama's viewpoints weren't radically different from his own. Is that something that you can take seriously, or is this guy overstating the case?
Well, I've heard plenty of people, say Obama's a Muslim or he's a closet Muslim, something like that. Given President Obama's positions on various things, he comes across more of a kind of extreme clueless liberal. To me personally, someone mm-hmm. who's been taught at the universities he went to and all the professors he sat under that. Islam is actually peaceful and wonderful, and it's Western governments who stirred up trouble over there, and Muslims are just responding to that. And if we can just if we can just show them that we respect them, then they'll stop committing acts of terrorism. And that's why I think President Obama, shortly after he was elected, went out to Cairo, gave a speech praising Islam, and it seemed when he was going out there that. Hey, I'm going to show you all how it's done. I'm going to show you all you Western politicians, I'm going to show you how to deal with Muslims, and I'm going to go over there, I'm going to praise their religion, and you're going to see that they're going to start liking us more. And of course, that hasn't worked out because it's false, the position they're operating under, the position that sort of Western liberals are operating under, namely that, Muslims just want to live in peace and harmony, but we've caused a bunch of problems and they're just reacting to the problems. It's not true. You can say we've caused problems. You can say we've upset them. You can say that, but that's not the problem. The real problem is what Islam teaches. And, Obama's never got his mind around that. Many others haven't seemed to get their minds around just the fact that there are teachings of Islam that involve subjugating the unbelievers when you can. Until we acknowledge that, we're never going to be able to deal with it.
Dr. David Wood, he is the feature writer for the Christian Research Journal. Two articles in particular, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up, and a special article titled On the Rise of the American Jihadist. David, you can probably speak to this better than anyone, but what is the appeal of Islam? It seems to me it's a very simple religion to understand. There's basically five pillars. You can adhere to them. It's not as complex as other religious structures.
Well, it's. I want to say yes to that, but there's sort of two sides to this. One, yes, as it's preached, the message goes something like this. Hey, you believe in God? Yes, I do. Well, Islam means submission. You believe that you should submit to God, right? Well, yeah, I do. I believe I should submit to God, and I know you believe that too, Hank. And so, hey, we want to submit to God. Okay, well, Islam is the religion of submission to God, and we don't have all these confusing doctrines about, Trinity, who understands that? Why would God need to, enter creation and die for your sins, all that? No, look, in Islam, it's just one God. He created us. We're going to stand in judgment before him. And so we need to, we need to listen to him and do what he says. So all of that is very simple, very easy to understand. And, Muslims win converts based on this. I said there were two sides. The other side is Islam. Yes, Islam means submission, but Islam isn't just the religion that says, hey, submit to Allah. It's a religion that explains how you submit to Islam. And that's really the key to understanding Islam. Islam tells you how you are to submit to Islam, and you submit to Islam by obeying the commands of Allah and by obeying the commands and decisions of Muhammad. Now, the problem is the Quran is a very confusing book, and when you look at Muhammad's commands and how he explained them in the various situations where he explained what these verses of the Quran meant, you end up with tons of volumes. I have multiple shelves, multiple bookshelves, filled with Muslim sources. Just to give you an idea, Sahih al-Bukhari, that's one of Islam's sort of favorite sources on Muhammad. It's 9 volumes, and it's just, and those 9 volumes are just one of the 6 sort of top collections. And so it's volume after volume after volume after volume after volume of Muhammad sort of illustrating with his life or with his words what the Quran means. And the problem there is the vast majority of Muslims never have an opportunity to really study all of these sources. And so what you end up with is it's just kind of understood in many Muslim areas, you haven't been through all of your sources, all of these tons, shelf after shelf after shelf of Muslim sources. Therefore, you can't really understand your religion beyond what your leader at the mosque or your local sheikh tells you. And so you end up with a kind of hierarchy of, hey, until you've been through all the sources, you are going to be confused and you are not going to understand what Allah requires of you and what you're to believe. So your best bet is to kind of keep your mouth shut and do what your leader tells you. So yes, the sort of core ideas of Islam, one God, submit to him, these things very easy to understand. Once you get in, there's a hierarchy of those who've studied all the sources and who are therefore capable of saying what Islam teaches, and those who are expected to keep quiet and do what they're told, because it's just too much for a normal human being to take in.
Talking to Dr. David Wood, and again, we want you to be equipped, always ready to give an answer, to use the deviations of Islam as a springboard or an opportunity to communicate the truth and love and grace that only the Jesus of the Bible can bring to the human heart. 3 resources available for your gift: Islam, What You Must Know, the book. It is a special edition book by the Christian Research Institute. And then 2 articles by Dr. David Wood. One includes an entire journal, and it is, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up, as its cover story. The other, a special article by Dr. David Wood, The Rise of the American Jihadist. Again, available for your support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can acquire your copies on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Remember, we do what we do because life and truth matter.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. In response to the recent Charlie Hebdo shootings in Paris, Howard Dean, former governor of Vermont, stated, "I stopped calling these people Muslim terrorists. They're about as Muslim as I am. I think ISIS is a cult, not an Islamic cult. I think it's a cult." Is Dean trying to paint a politically correct, warmer, kinder picture of Islam? What's really the truth? Hank Hanegraaff's special equipping package will help you understand the real Islam. It includes the book, Islam, What You Must Know, plus a special article on the rise of the American Jihadist and an issue of the Christian Research Journal featuring the article, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? To receive this offer as our thank you for your gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.